This is Science in the News in VOA Special English. I'm Bob Doty.
And I'm Faith Lapidus. This week, learn about some medical heroes.
The French chemist Marie Curie was the first person ever to win two Nobel Prizes. The first was in physics, the second in chemistry. Marie Curie worked to increase the understanding of radioactivity. She discovered the highly radioactive element radium. She also helped develop the use of X-rays during the First World War. Marie Curie was born in Poland in 1867. She worked with her husband, Pierre. Both handled radioactive materials for years without protection. As a result, both suffered health problems. Pierre was killed in a road accident in 1906. Marie Curie died in 1934 of a blood disorder caused by radiation. Their daughter, Irene, also won a Nobel Prize for discoveries with her husband about radiation. She died of leukemia, cancer of the blood.
At the start of the 20th century, the United States Army had a yellow fever commission. The Army wanted medical experts to study yellow fever and find a way to stop the disease. One team worked in Cuba to test the idea that mosquitoes spread yellow fever. In August of 1900, the group began to raise mosquitoes and infect them with the virus. 9 Americans permitted the infected insects to bite them. Nothing happened. Then 2 more let the mosquitoes bite them. Both men developed yellow fever.
A doctor named Jesse William Lazier recognized something. The mosquitoes that had bitten the last 2 men had been older than the others. Dr. Lazier proved that mosquitoes did carry yellow fever. However, he too was bitten and died. No one is sure just how Dr. Lazier was bitten. He said it happened accidentally as he treated others. Some said he placed the mosquito on his arm as part of the experiment. Medical historians say he may have reported the bite as an accident so his family could get his life insurance money.
The team in Cuba was led by Walter Reed, the Army doctor and scientist noted for his work on infectious diseases. The death of Dr. Lazier shocked Walter Reed and the others on the team, but they continued with their work. More people let themselves be bitten by mosquitoes. Others were injected with blood from victims of yellow fever. Some people in this test group developed the disease, but all recovered to full health. Members of the research group praised the work by Jesse Lazier. They called it a sacrifice to research that led the way to one of the greatest medical discoveries of the century.
The research had answered the question of how yellow fever spread. Now the question was how to protect people. The researchers had a theory. They thought that people who were bitten by infected mosquitoes but recovered were protected in the future. To test this idea, the team in Cuba offered $100 to anyone who would agree to be bitten by infected mosquitoes. 19 people agreed. The only American was Clara Moss. She was a nurse who worked with yellow fever patients in Cuba. Clara Moss was bitten by infected mosquitoes 7 times between March and August of 1901. Only one of the 19 people developed the disease until that August. Then, in that month, 7 people got yellow fever. Clara Moss died 6 days after she was bitten for the 7th time.
Cuba and the United States both made postage stamps in honor of Clara Moss. Today, a hospital in her home state of New Jersey is called the Clara Moss Medical Center. The experiment showed that the bite of an infected mosquito is not a safe way to protect people from yellow fever. Medical historians say the death of Clara Moss also created a public protest. This reaction ended experiments with humans in yellow fever research.
Joseph Goldberger was a doctor for the United States Public Health Service. In 1912, he began to study a skin disease that was killing thousands of people in the American South. The disease was pellagra. Dr. Goldberger traveled to the state of Mississippi, where many people suffered from pellagra. He studied the victims and their families. Most of the victims were poor. The doctor came to believe that the disease was not infectious, but instead related to diet. He received permission from the state governor to test this idea at a prison. Prisoners were offered pardons if they took part. One group of prisoners received their usual foods, mostly corn products. A second group ate meat, fresh vegetables, and milk. Members of the first group developed pellagra. The second group did not.
But other medical researchers dismissed the findings. For the South, pellagra was more than simply a medical problem. There were other issues involved, including Southern pride. So Dr. Goldberger had himself injected with blood from a person with pellagra. He also took liquid from the nose and throat of a pellagra patient and put them into his own nose and throat. He even swallowed pills that contained skin from pellagra patients. An assistant also took part in the experiments. So did Dr. Goldberger's wife. No one got sick. Later, the doctor discovered that a small amount of dried brewer's yeast each day could prevent pellagra. Joseph Goldberger died of cancer in 1929. He was 55 years old. Several years later, researchers discovered the exact cause of pellagra, a lack of the B vitamin known as niacin.
Dr. Matthew Laquia died of the Ebola virus in December of 2000. He was the medical administrator of St. Mary's Hospital in the Gulu district of northern Uganda. The hospital was the center of treatment for an outbreak of Ebola. The virus causes severe bleeding. There is no cure. Health workers can only hope that victims are strong enough to survive. Dr. Laquia acted quickly to control the spread of infection. He kept the people with Ebola separate from the other patients. He ordered hospital workers to dress in protective clothes. One day he had to deal with a patient who was dying of Ebola. The man had been acting out of control. Dr. Laquia knew him well. The patient was a nurse who worked at the hospital. He was coughing and bleeding. Dr. Laquia violated one of his own rules. He wore no protection over his eyes. Ugandans mourned the death of Dr. Laquia. He was 42 years old. St. Mary's is one of the best hospitals in East Africa. Matthew Laquia was an important influence in the community. Medical experts say his work during the outbreak in 2000 helped stop the Ebola virus from spreading out of control.
Our final medical hero is Carlo Urbani. He was a disease expert from Italy. He worked in Vietnam for the World Health Organization. On February 28, 2003, the Vietnam France Hospital in Hanoi asked for help to deal with an unusual infection. Dr. Urbani recognized it as a new threat. He made sure other hospitals increase their infection control measures. On March 11th, Dr. Urbani developed signs of severe acute respiratory syndrome. 4 days later, the World Health Organization declared it a worldwide health threat. Carlo Urbani was the first doctor to warn the world of the pneumonia we now know as SARS. He died of it on March 29, 2003. He was 46 years old.
Our program was written by Nancy Steinbach. Cynthia Kirk was our producer, with recording help from Dwayne Collins. This is Bob Doty.
And this is Faith Lapidus. Listen again next week for more Science in the News in VOA Special English.